Today's Bible readings are from the New Testament, and the first reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, and that's the famous account of the temptation of Jesus. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After spending 40 days and nights without food, Jesus was hungry. Then the devil came to him and said, "If you are God's son, order these stones to be turned into bread." But Jesus answered, "The scripture says, human beings cannot live on bread alone, but need every word that God speaks." Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem, the holy city, set him on the highest point of the temple, and said to him, "If you are God's son, throw yourself down. For the scripture says, God will give orders to his angels about you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so that not even your feet will be hurt on the stones." Jesus answered, "But the scripture also says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in all their greatness. "All this I will give you," the devil said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." Then Jesus answered, "Go away, Satan. The scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left Jesus, and the angels came and helped him. And our second reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, which reminds us that as a result of the temptation of Jesus' victory over Satan, he is a high priest. Verse 14. "Let us then hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God, Jesus, the Son of God. Our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weaknesses. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. Let us have confidence then and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and grace to help us when we need it." Amen.
As a parent of a teenager, I'm aware that teens are often tempted or pressured by peers into doing things they may not consider otherwise. Even the best efforts on the part of parents can't always keep them from being tempted to try something. I'm sure we can all remember a time in our teens when we were tempted. For me, it was staying out late, defying my parents, not spending time on studying, or if I did, I did it very slapdash, just to be able to hand it in. Teenagers now have even more than we did with the increase of technology. So as well as drugs, relationships, alcohol, TV, social media is now a major temptation. Having the ability to limit the usage is hard for adults and teens alike. I know that from experience. With teenagers today, it's important for them to feel a part of a group, have friends like them. It's important to allow them the freedom of self-expression, whether it's being a geek, music choices, fashion, or sport. So when my daughter, who is at present organising a costume of a character called Venom, or is it Dark Witch, or a Marvel comic character, talks at length about it, it's okay, because she is being protected by a group of friends who understand her and her conversations. I'm sure we can all remember how difficult it was being a teenager. We don't grow out of our teens and leave temptations behind. In fact, we face it every day. whether it's the glamour of all our worldly things and putting our Christian face after the comforts of the Western world. And as we've read this morning, Jesus was tempted too. Following his baptism in the River Jordan, Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Today we have read the account of the temptations from Matthew's Gospel. It is also there in Luke's Gospel and mentioned more briefly in Mark's Gospel too. So we've had it three times over, and we know it was an important event. But one fact which sets the temptations apart from all the other stories in the Gospels is the fact that it could only have been come from Jesus himself. He was alone in the desert. It was his private, personal, innermost struggle. At some point, Jesus must have told this story to his disciples for their warning, their comfort, and their strengthening. The story which we are looking at today is therefore one of the most special in the whole gospel narrative. At the time of his baptism, Jesus knew for sure who he was and what his task was going to be. He knew that he was a Messiah and that he must bring people to the kingdom of God. But the question was how? What method should he use? Jesus found his answer in the temptation story. He was tempted three times over to take the easy way out in his life and ministry, to satisfy his hunger, to keep himself safe, and to avoid the way of the cross. One of the interesting things for us to notice in all that is none of these temptations are obviously evil. There'd be nothing obviously wrong in turning stones into bread or demonstrating God's care by doing something adventurous or dangerous or in an action which will win over the whole world. The power of temptation for us as well as Jesus is that it often suggests a course of action which, on the face of it, looks fine. When we're tempted, it's often to take a good way rather than taking the best way, an easy way rather than a more difficult way. This is what makes it all the more difficult for us to resist temptation. Before we look at the three temptations in a bit more detail, we also need to realise that the tempter is making one basic attack on Jesus. He is tempting Jesus to doubt his ministry and his divinity. Each temptation begins, "If you are the right Son of God." This was a temptation that would just not go away for Jesus, right through his ministry, and even when he was on the cross. "If you are the Son of God," said his enemies, "come down from the cross." Jesus was tempted to distrust himself, to doubt his call, question his task and his ability, and go for it. It was almost as the tempter said, "How can you, a penniless, uneducated Galilean carpenter, possibly be God's Messiah? Whoever heard of a Messiah starving in the wilderness or hanging on a cross?" The tempter began by trying to make Jesus doubt his own call from God. And as I'm sure we all know, self-doubt can be a very difficult thing to deal with. But Jesus was sure of God and his own relationship with God, so the attack failed. And Jesus knew the scriptures well enough to answer each temptation with a quote from the scripture. Each time he quoted Deuteronomy, the book of the Jewish law. I wonder how many of us know the Bible well enough to be able to refer back to it like this when we are tempted. Knowing the scriptures can certainly be help and comfort to us too when we have to deal with life's tough situations. Stones into bread. Jesus was tempted to meet his own need. There are two temptations here. The temptation for Jesus to use his power selfishly to satisfy his own need. He must have been really hungry. Why not feed himself? Today we tend to find it harder to believe that Jesus was genuinely and fully human. He's become a figure with a halo around his head in a stained glass window, and we may struggle with the implications of his humanity. What was Jesus doing on his 18th birthday? Who was his best friend or his favourite aunt? What was his favourite drink? His greatest temptation. Jesus was human in the fullest possible sense. He experienced hunger, thirst, pain, sorrow, joy, pleasure, rejection, anger and fear. All the human feelings and needs and emotions which we do. He was tempted by self-centeredness in the same way that we are. The temptations in the wilderness are one example of this. And probably the other best known example is a time in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he spent a long night battling with his desire to walk away from what awaited him, his death on the cross. Because Jesus was fully human, we know that these were just two moments in a continuous struggle for him to live the life he was called to, rather than taking the easy, self-centered option. Being fully human, Jesus was tempted in all areas of life, just as we are, and he resisted. As we read Hebrews 4, verse 15, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we do have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was uniquely fully man and fully God. And it's because he became human that he understands where we are tempted to. In Romans, we read Paul's teaching that Jesus was the second Adam. Where Adam, the first human, gave in to temptations, Jesus stood firm. Where Adam gave in to sin, Jesus refused. But it was as a human being that Jesus overcame temptation, and as a human being that he obeyed his Father. As a human being, he suffered, cared, wept, slept, served, struggled with his fears and doubts, and overcame them. It is the truth that Jesus was 100% human and at the same time 100% God that offers us real hope. As the second Adam, Jesus gives an example of what we all aspire to. We worship and serve the God of the Bible precisely because he became one of us. The second temptation was to win followers with material gifts, to give them things like food in order to bribe them into following him. The idea now that we sometimes refer to as creating rice Christians, people who get attracted to Christians because they think it's something which they will get something out of the arrangement, like food. Feeding the hungry is a good thing, not something bad. But sometimes being good can be enemy of the best. Think of give people fish that they eat for a day, but you teach them to fish and they eat for life. Jumping down from the temple. Jesus was tempted to prove his own worth. From the highest point in the temple to the Kedron Valley, below was a sheer drop of about 450 feet. If Jesus had made that jump in view of all the temple worshippers and survived without injury, it would have been a kind of miracle that would have attracted huge crowds of people to follow him. Jesus was tempted to use his divine powers to keep himself safe and win followers for the easy way. But from this temptation to the constant demands of the crowds for him to produce a sign to prove who he was, to the final taunts for him to come down from the cross, Jesus consistently refused to do things which would provide certainties and force people into believing him. He always allowed room for doubt, but presented people with the opportunity to deepen their faith by exploring it. It's okay to have doubts. Jesus responds to our doubts by offering us something, or more particularly someone, to believe in. Jesus invites, but never compels us to believe. He does not give us certainties. Instead, he invites us to have faith. He accepted that even his closest followers would have doubts and misunderstandings. Jesus did not come to make people superhuman, but to help them become fully human. His message was designed to help us cope with life, to help us deal with pressure, guilt, failure, pain, hopes and dreams, not to take away all our cares by magic. God is with us in our pain, but he does not remove it. The Jews were expecting a different kind of Messiah from Jesus. They were looking for a Messiah who would be a spectacular leader, powerful, political, nationalistic, someone who would lead them to overthrow the Roman occupation. This temptation to work wonders was also a temptation to Jesus to become the kind of Messiah that the Jews were looking for, and who would certainly have drawn an enthusiastic crowd of followers. Worship the devil. Jesus was tempted to exploit his own power. All the kingdoms in the world were in fact Jesus's by right, not the devil's to choose to give to who he wished. The question was, how were they going to become Jesus in fact? This temptation was a temptation for Jesus to compromise, to strike a bargain with Satan, and thus avoid the way of the cross and the need to utterly defeat Satan. But for Jesus, there was not going to be any compromise. No bargain made with Satan. No compromise with anything less than the best, or anything that was not completely the will of God. The devil appears through the temptations and through the Gospels as a personification of evil, but always in the context of defeat. Evil is not an equal, an opposite power to God, but always a defeated power whose destruction is being completed. The temptations which came to Jesus there were the temptation to use his power selfishly, to put material benefits first in his program, to seek for quick results by sensational means, to win popularity by compromise, and above all, to distrust himself and to doubt his call and accept the traditional expectations rather than listen to the voice of God. He dealt with them by submitting everything to the world and word and will of God and obeying what he found there. After these temptations, we were told that the devil departed for a while, not for good. Temptation was a continual struggle for Jesus, which lasted until his final battle and the defeat of the devil by the death on the cross. Even at that time, Jesus continued to be tempted. If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. Jesus was tempted far more severely than any of us who are ever likely to be. Upon the result of Jesus' temptation, the fate of God's whole plan of salvation for the world was literally hanging in the balance. For a fully human Jesus, the temptation to avoid the cross must have been enormous. Temptation is not wrong, it is normal. We all experience it as part of life. The wonderful thing is that because God became man and stood where we stand and shared our world, our emotions, our pain and humanity, he understands fully what it means when we are tempted and is able to save us from falling into temptation if we fully rely on him. Lord, thank you that you understand us completely and that you know what is to face temptation and to choose the right path. Strengthen us when we are tempted to do things which we know are wrong in your sight. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray.